Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Here we go. It's the Cop Eye Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast and yet another live stream. We're cracking on with this, seeing what happens. I'm joined as usual by Jay Pearson. How are you doing, Jay, lad?
I'm all good, mate. I'm all good.
Yeah, good stuff, lad. And we're also joined by Harvey once again. He's done a recent interview with us on the channel, Famous Fans. If you haven't checked that out yet, go and check that out. Welcome. Thanks for coming on again, mate. Nice to have you on again.
Time, boys. Good to see you again. Always a pleasure, never a chore.
Ah, I love it, mate. Love it. So come on then, mate. How did it go?
We got absolutely hammered in my charity game against Marlon Hayward's All-Stars 6-2, but the game was amazing. I mean, the levels was high. Considering I had, like, you know, a couple Premier League boys in my team and a lot of Championship League One players, you could see that the levels of the Wes Browns, the Stylian Petrovs, the George Boatengs, different level, mate. Absolutely different. They was miles ahead of us. And Stylian Petrov, wow, I probably touched him once, hit him with a tackle, but apart from that, I didn't get near him. I didn't even smell his shirt. only at the end when we had a cuddle.
Brilliant. What about George Boateng? He's just an absolute beast, isn't he? Like, he's ridiculous, isn't he?
Animal. Like I said, when you see just the way they move the ball, the way they always seem like they got time, how quick they see passes, is absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, first half, we were very poor. Second half, we battered them. But when they caught us in the counter, they was literally cutting us open with like three passes. So, but yes, Stan Petrov, wow. Both of them, just the honour. Wes Brown, I didn't even see him get beaten once. I think maybe once one of the boys done a little step over on him, but he was in cruise control, cruise mode.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's what. When you come up against someone like that, it's just like you can see just the step up in it. It's just quality.
Unreal.
What was the final score in the end, mate?
6-2 in the end. So we done quite well because we got it back, got back to 3-1, and I thought they was under the cosh. We hit the post, carried on cracking on, but then they just caught us on the break twice. And that kind of deflated the boys. Then we got another penalty because I scored two penalties. I think Jamie Curran got brought down on one, and then one was a handball. I've done my job with the penalties. I should have had a hat-trick, to be fair. Mr. Sitter in the back post, you'll see it on the on the live footage. But, yeah, it was just the quality, how quick these class players can just cut you in two. And I'm thinking, you know, even Wes, who's a good friend of mine, you're thinking, how many league titles and Champions Leagues has this boy won? And FA Cups. And he literally drove 4 hours to play in me and Marlon's game. What a guy. But I just wanted to get one over him because he didn't play for Man U. But me and him had a bit of banter last night on the OTEX and that. But yeah, he's got one over me. But the return leg is in February. So we're got Marlon's hosting that one. We're going to
Superb.
The
end.
Yeah.
Superb, yeah,
like,
mate.
The goals, like your two pens were great. And then, like we touched on before we started recording, that Dion Burton one from outside the box. That was just filthy, that wasn't it?
Like we'll put the
link in the description once Harvey's uploaded.
Oh, thank you, boys. Thank you. Yeah, it was. Like I said, Dion Burton, another player who played at a high level, you know, just great finishing. Guy Moussa, who played in the Championship for Nottingham Forest, in the French League for Angers. Just real, real good players. And, you know, the body may stop working like it used to, but the brain doesn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, it was an amazing game. Few kickoffs, to be fair, too. Nice. Yeah, but once it was only on the pitch, once it was done, Marlon Harewood and Sadji Burton had a little kickoff because they're both physical lads.
Yeah.
So as you know, Marlon, strong lad, what a player. Sadji, ex Crystal Palace, not another strong rock. And I knew them two was going to clash. It was like a battle of Muhammad Ali versus George Foreman. Yeah. Literally.
Oh, glad you enjoyed them. I'm glad it was a good day. That's what you need in these times, don't you? So it was nice and positive and stuff. So it's brilliant. But like you said, mate, the you know, we go back to what we spoke about on Famous Fans, where you were running around Anfield and stuff like that. Never leaves you, does it, mate?
Never.
Still bang two penalties away. There we go.
Exactly. To be fair, I was given we had a bit of banter in the game after the game. And I said to the boys, like, you lot have played like 300, 600 games, like, each. Yeah. I says, I've done 8 months as a pro and turned into a pop star, and I still scored both goals. And all that. I said, you lot should be taking a mick in this game. You know what I mean? But, lads, my legs are in bits. Like, this morning, my missus was like, get out of bed. I was like, I can't.
God. Yeah, it's like when you have a bit of a break from footy, even like a couple of weeks off, whatever, and you play one game, yeah. And you're like, happy, and your legs are like, oh my God.
It was a killer. It would have been all right, because if there wasn't COVID, I always play in the celebrity soccer games at all the professional stadiums in the summer. So by the time I get to this type period of time, I've had about 5-6 games under my belt.
Yeah.
Before my own personal event. But because literally, I have not played since last summer. Literally. And I'm a fit guy. I'm fit, you know. Like, a lot of us are still fit. You know, I train hard, but you still can't beat match fitness, can you?
No.
So, for the first 20 minutes, I was like, can someone lend me a lung, please? Do you know what I mean? I need a lungs from somewhere, but we got through it. I was one of the few that played 90 minutes, so.
There you go. Sorted then.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll throw that link in the description, and obviously all the causes that was going towards is great. So I encourage you to go and check that out, because it's.
Thank you very much, guys. Can I give a quick shout out to Dom's Food Mission, Feed the Homeless, and Boot Hunger Out. Great guys. It was amazing there. Like I said, yeah, the football's the fun part, but we're not important. They are. So I just wanted to say a special shout out to them charities, guys. Thank you.
Well said, mate. Well said. We'll put the links to the charities as well in the description after the video.
Super.
Along with the highlights as well. So, yeah, great shout out there, mate.
Thank you, mate.
Yeah, no worries. But we'll crack on for whatever everyone wants to hear about the match on Saturday. Obviously, West Ham, we got over the line, 2-1 winners. Thoughts going into it, Harvey? I mean, like, Nat Phillips starting and Curtis Jones starting was a bit, both were a bit, well, Nat Phillips more so, but Curtis Jones was a bit of a surprise as well. Was you a bit worried going into that one?
At this precise moment, because we've got so many injuries, it's been the most bizarre season I've ever seen. I think that we've played absolutely average and mediocre, and we're still top of the league. We haven't even hit full form. So some of the decisions that Klopp's been forced to make is no fault of his own. You know, we've got so many injuries. He chose to go into the youth system. I did thought when they said he was going to start Reece Williams, I was like, I'm not sure yet. You know. The kid's definitely a future star, but I just wasn't very sure if he could get thrown in a line of fire. Now, Nat Williams has been at the club a while. He's been sent on loan to German clubs and various other clubs. And I was nervous, I'm not going to lie, because I thought, if it goes wrong for him, this could literally end this boy's career, you know? But it was genius, because Klopp trains with these guys every day and he knows what he has. And you know what was good about Nat? Good old British fashion centre half. He cleared it when he had to. He didn't give a hell who he took out. You know, he headbutted a few, didn't he, just to get the ball. And he was like a true Brit. He reminded me of Terry Butcher. Do you remember him?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
No, Nat's not amazing on the deck. But he done everything simple, you know. As soon as he got the ball, he got it out his feet and he just done his job, passed it out to midfield, passed it out wide. And I thought, for us to get through this game with so many injuries, amazing. Yeah. You know, I was very shocked when I seen him and Curtis starting. I was like, I didn't know Klopp's thinking here, because I thought, well, why are you going to rest Jota now? Jota's starting to warm up. He's on fire. So, and you can see now Jota's got used to the system. He's starting to be a real problem. So I thought that he might, I don't know, drop Jota into midfield. And obviously Bobby ain't had the best start to the season, but no way will I ever disrespect Bobby Firmino, because people don't realise it is the position that he does is so hard. He takes all the crap to free up the space for Mane and Salah. And just because he's having a little a tough moment, we shouldn't start to get on him, because we know he will do something great again and he will be great again. But I do believe maybe he does need a bit of time out of the team and put Jota down the centre and maybe interchange them two just to break up the front three a bit.
Shout.
Yeah, I think we've said that a couple of times. I mean, it's just it's just doing it. I mean, I don't know what type of character Firmino is behind the scenes. I mean, I imagine he wouldn't be happy about that decision, but I think maybe in his heart, he maybe knows he needs a bit of time just to maybe recharge a little bit. Because even
his touch
is a bit off, isn't it, as well, which isn't like him.
It's just weird, like, you know, Bobby Firmino don't lose the ball. You know, he's probably lost the ball so much this season, probably most he's done in the whole time he's been at Liverpool. He looks after the ball. He's very, very clever with his movement. Disguisingly good in the air. Do you know what I mean? So if you think Bobby scored quite a few headers, and like I said, technically he's amazing, but like I said, it's tough. I know a lot of players that play in the Premier League, and I spoke to a few players. And I said, what's it like playing with no fans? And a few of my friends said, you just get on with it because we love football and we're just happy to be back playing football in this situation. And a couple of my friends have said that it's hard to motivate themselves without the fans. So you also got to understand the trauma that a lot of these players are going through. When in our whole lifetime have we ever seen watch consistent football with no fans? So if it's affecting us, how do we think it's affecting them? They're still human beings. So yeah. I don't even believe in home and away no more. It's just a pitch to me now.
It's just a pitch.
Yeah. And I think you can see that. Like, obviously, we haven't been... It's difficult to say because we've been winning games still, but we've not been, performance-wise, we haven't been setting the world alight, have we? Like you'd expect of a Klopp team. And that showed after 10 minutes. Obviously, Fornals puts them one up. And I've seen Marlon Edwards giving you a bit of grief about that one. Is he still a big hammer, is he, after his 4 years at West Ham?
Who's that? Sorry, it kind of skipped there, sorry.
Oh, Marlon Edwards. I've seen he was giving you a bit of grief on Instagram when they scored.
Marlon is still quality. Obviously can't move as quick as he used to. But in regards to like his love for West Ham, he still thinks he plays for him when he sends me messages. Do you know what I mean? So when he gave me that bit of stick when Fornals scored, I was you know, we're 1-0 up. I was like, what, are you still out there, mate? You better concentrate on the game you got tomorrow. but I thought that post was a bit too early. If Liverpool score in the first half an hour, I kind of sit back a bit because you never know what can happen. 90 minutes is a long time. And that's what I said to him at the end of the game. I said, you spoke too soon, mate. You just got jotted. So it was great banter. Marlon's a great lad, and I love his loyalty to West Ham because, you know, that's what made him a successful man, and that's where his loyalty is. But don't ever come in my corner. Never. You'll never walk alone to the end.
Yeah, it was like we said. It wasn't a great goal from our perspective. Obviously, a ball in Joe Gomez's head of the clear. It wasn't a great clearance, was it? Maybe do you think he should have done better, really? And then I think even after that, maybe he should have closed down quicker. I mean, we expect such high levels from Joe Gomez, isn't it? That we expect him maybe to do a bit better than that type of scenario, don't we?
Of course, the header wasn't powerful enough, and obviously when you're doing a defensive header, please don't try and go down the centre, right in front of your goal, and put Alisson under danger. You know, at least try and put a bit of angle on it. You know, so it's a bit awkward, but literally put it on a plate. It was like a centre forward setting a ball for a centre midfielder. He literally, header, poor header, and Fornals just had to come on and finish it. And you know how technically good Fornals is as a player. So that was literally a gift from God for him. I did say to you, Wes, I was very concerned at the beginning of the season about our centre-half situation. Till this day, I believe we have to sign Koulibaly or Upamecano. We have to sign one of them. We have to go super rock. That's no disrespect to Joe Gomez, but there's certain elements of Liverpool at the start of the season where we just haven't been good enough. Yeah. And we're starting to go back to that nervous feeling again, you know, shaky at the back, not dealing with set plays too well, apart from Saturday where Nat was unbelievable. He literally carried the back four in the air by himself.
Mm.
You know, so I'm very concerned at the moment. And even though we're top of the league, I'm going to remain very humble because I think we need... If we had Joe... Well, I know Joel Matip's been announced fit today, but if we had Joe Gomez and Fab fit in front of them, I'd be like, all right, we can get through it till January. So hopefully within the next 2 weeks, we see that formation. We see Joe and Fabinho sitting just in front of them. I think that's a good bit of protection, you know. But at this precise moment, Atalanta tomorrow, building up to Man City, Oh gosh.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Because we've got like, we've conceded 27 goals in 14 games. So since we won the league, so it's quite shocking in terms of that stat, because we didn't, you know, we haven't been at the races ever since we won the league, obviously. But it's like you said at the top of the show, mate, we're still top of the league regardless, and that's phenomenal, that considering what's gone on. But it's, I mean, when we went 1-0 down, I was thinking, oh, right, shit, here we go again. You know, we went 1-0 down to Sheffield United. I wasn't worried about not winning the game because I still think our attack could pull us through. It's essence of 13-14, wasn't it, when we scored more goals than we conceded, and that was what got us through the game. Not to, you know, our defence is so much better than 13-14, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But that was the balance, wasn't it? And I think, I don't know how you felt, but when we went 1-0 down, I was pissed off, but I was just like, do you know what? I still think we'll win the game.
100%. And that's weird. As soon as they went 1-0 down, we dealt with the same situation the week before. And it's quite tough for Liverpool, because every team that comes to Liverpool, as soon as they score it, go 1-0 up, here we go, here comes the Great Wall of China, let's just sit off. And I was like, oh my gosh. I said, West Ham, this is a bit of a different challenge to Sheffield United, because their centre-halves are massive. Ogbonna.
Yeah.
And just a big back four. And I went, oh, this is going to be so frustrating. But I know that one thing that Klopp has installed in them players, we keep going, we keep pressing, we keep going, we keep pressing. We just keep chipping. And that's one thing I know. No team's going to beat us easy, because we play to the 95th minute.
Yeah.
That's guaranteed. We keep hammering at that door, hammering, no matter how frustrating it gets. And that's something that Klopp has installed in the players. And I don't believe anyone has that knocking at the door like Liverpool have. And that's why we're still nicking these results.
Yeah,
even in the most negative situation. And like what I said to people, you keep laughing, because when Virgil's back, when Fab's back, Thiago, Jota, and they're all ticking, karma will come back to haunt you all. So the reason why everyone's, you know, having a go at Liverpool and, you know, trying to throw little digs at us and feeling a bit confident, is because we have injuries. What a cop-out that is. Judge us when we got a full squad. Don't judge us when we got Nat getting drafted in last minute, who hasn't played for Liverpool for how long, since the Carabao Cup how many years ago, and then young Curtis Jones, who's literally just warming into the team. He's a young lad, you know, and we're still beating teams. So bore off, all you other fans, bore off.
Yeah, like you said, all those injuries, and we're still top of the league, like you said, like
exactly. It's all
the Jurgen Klopp and the confidence he instills in his players. And like you said, they don't ever give up. And one of those players is obviously Mo Salah, who's like probably one of the best mentally in the world in terms of like nothing phases him. And it was him that got us the penalty, 42 minutes. Good little ball in by Curtis Jones. And then he gets the pen and gets up and scores it. And how do you feel about Salah on pens? Because I've said it before that I still crap myself every time he takes a pen because of the run-up. Do you worry about when he takes pens? I know he's great at them, but I always worry. I don't know why.
It's a weird one, because I literally what you said, I totally agree with you. He don't miss them, but literally because of his run up, it just makes me nervous. But funny enough, I copied his technique yesterday. So when you see my second penalty, I actually copied it. And it worked. And I thought, I think it's the intensity that he runs at, the pace, confuses the keepers. But one thing that's good about him is that he goes different sides and different heights, but he runs at the same pace and the run-up's exactly the same.
Yeah.
So literally, you can't predict his penalties, because if you know with the West Ham penalty, Fabianski went to the same side that he went against Sheffield United, if I'm correct. So he obviously was doing his homework that week at training, and then Mo just went down the centre. So I like the way that Mo just plays with their heads. As long as he keeps the variation with the penalties, he's going to be fantastic here. But like I said, with the run-up, still makes me nervous till this day. Even if we get one tomorrow, I'm like, Klopp can't look, can he? Klopp always turns his back.
Yeah. It's true.
I think when Milner steps up, you just kind of like, he's going to score. But with Salah, I'm like, he's going to score, but I'm still going to shit myself. Doesn't matter how he does it. But thankfully we got that goal, because it was only 3 minutes before half-time. And I think if we got to half-time 0-0, we wouldn't have been worried, but it would have made it a bit more of a difficult proposition maybe second half, because they would have sat back even more and just soaked up the pressure. It might have been more difficult for us to get through.
Yeah, totally.
But with the penalty though, there was a lot of fallout, wasn't there, after the game regarding the whole diving incident. And I think it's good that we get we get it out in the open in terms of what everyone thinks about it, because obviously the 24 hours later, you know, Harry Kane's the subject of one as well on the edge of the area. Harvey, what do you make of the whole, because Salah was so good in his first season and he was winning penalties because of his tricks, and similar way Suarez used to do it. I think it's now going against Salah, isn't it? Because of people saying, oh, he goes down too easily and stuff like that. Whereas it's not just Salah that maybe does that or doesn't do that. It's rife in the game at the minute, isn't it?
VAR, get rid of it, man. You don't create a system that you don't know how to handle. You know, it's getting ridiculous. It's getting petty, and what it's doing is stopping things like physicality, tackling. Is a man's game that we're playing in. And I'll be real, as a Liverpool fan, Mazawaku, I feel very hard done by. I would feel. Mm. Yeah, okay. You slide down, you see a little clip on Salah's ankle. Okay, but let's be honest with you, boys. Give or take, if there was no VAR, we might have got that. We might have not over on a normal day, you know. Yeah. But then you got to think, the last couple of weeks, VAR has been cruel to Liverpool. I've still got a mark where I punched my TV after what happened to us against Everton in the last minute, because yeah, that absolutely spoiled my whole day. And even the things, you know, how Virgil got injured and the tackle on Thiago, you know, it's just crazy out there. But there's no continuity to it. So when they're making, even with the goal, the Jota first one that got disallowed. Are you serious? Like, let's be honest with you. Ogbonna and Mane both went for the ball. So did the keeper. Of course there's going to be a melee, but you can never say that was an intentional foul. And if you look, Ogbonna was the one that knocked the ball out to Jota.
Yeah.
So what's the line here? How's that a foul? I don't know. That one I'd have been like, come on now. Like, that was a clash where all the players went for the ball and the ball broke free and Jota done his job. Now we're getting I don't know. Even the referees are disappointing me lately. They're just disappointing me, you know. And when they walk to that screen, I'm like, oh, mate, go away, because all you're going to do is reverse the decision. Only yesterday, the Brighton-Tottenham game was the first ref to go against the decision, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The first one. So let's be realistic. These refs are like puppets at the moment. And, you know, oh, my gosh, he's offside. His elbow, like, that's getting ridiculous. It's getting ridiculous. I'm stick back to this day. That Jordison Henderson goal was a last minute winner. Yeah. And they took it away from us. It was so petty and ridiculous. No way. No way.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, mate.
Even like you said, there's decisions like that going against us. And we've got all these injuries and we're still top of the league. So it makes it even sweeter in a way, doesn't it?
That Everton lost to Newcastle yesterday. And you know what? I didn't know the score. Because of my event, I said to no one, don't tell me the score. Because after we have a big booze up like we did yesterday, when I get in, I just want to get in bed and just watch it. The whole of match of the day too. I did not know one score. Not one.
Nice.
I done it on purpose. And I sat there, minus the Man U Arsenal, because that was on at the stadium we played at. But when I see them lose, I was buzzing. And I'm good friends with Callum Wilson. And I text him straight away. Yeah. I can't repeat what he said back, but it was good for Liverpool. yes, cows, and again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, great stuff. Honestly, like, it was a bit of a weird one, I think, game one, because you expected to be beating Newcastle, but like you said, dropping Pickford and the whole, like, they can't handle injuries, that's the thing, and they've had this bit of a crest of a wave at the start of the season, but you've got to have the squad, the strength and depth like we have. Throwing kids in there and still winning games. If you're not doing that, you screw pretty much, aren't you?
100%.
Mate, but go on. Sorry, go on, mate. Carry on.
I'm sorry. No, 100% is like, we got with Everton, you know, they haven't had a start like that since David Moyes. Remember when David Moyes had that really good season? When they was kind of, you know, fishing around the top four and, you know, five and six position. And, you know, they was like, yeah, we're back. And, you know, we're going to be up there with the other side of Liverpool, with the red side. And then they had this amazing start to the season. They started getting excited again. I got to go on Twitter and watch Tony Bellew's silly tweets. And I was like, oh, gosh. But in the back of my head, I was like, Everton always hit a gas kit. Always.
Yeah.
They go.
Yeah.
Literally. And what I predict, they've got, obviously, they're a lot stronger this season. Jokes aside, they are a lot stronger. Ancelotti's a great manager. I do like some of the players that they've got. But I think that for them, they've got to look at the Europa as a realistic target and maybe getting a Carabao or FA Cup. You know what I mean? I would love to see Everton win something there's nothing that really affects us or that we're bothered by it. Do you know what I mean? But but I don't have a problem with Everton. It's a friendly rivalry, you know? Yeah. But calm down, lads. Don't get too excited. There's only one top team. And that's across Stanley Park. And the colour's red.
we love all that. But like we said, like you said, Harvey, you have to get his goal chalked off. Difficult one to call, probably wrongly, but like you said, there's too many screens and the referees have got agendas and there's all kinds of shit going on in terms of how do they make decisions, what's offside, what's not, too many grey areas. But then he finally does get his goal on the 5 minutes to go. The first Liverpool player since 2004, Luis Garcia, to score in his first three consecutive Premier League games.
That's good, right.
Great start
to the kid. I've always liked the kid. I've loved his movement. When he played in the first game, I never expect anything. Even the best players at Liverpool, minus Thiago, who was unbelievable in his first game against Chelsea, like about the passes in the second half. But you got to give them time to settle. You got to give them time to get used to the Klopp system. You got to get used to the pressing. It demands a lot of energy, you know. But the fact is, even when he was getting used to the system, he was still nicking a goal. And I said, the last two games, he now looks like a Liverpool player.
Like, yeah, you can see, absolutely.
Like, he's bonded with the players. He's getting used to it. He's earned the players' respect now, you know. And he's just a danger. I just love him. And he's so nippy, you know. He's nippy. What I like with him, he's like Mane. He's very direct.
Yeah.
As soon as he sees a gap, he don't delay, mate. He's gone. Look at the little 1-2s that he created when he came on against West Ham. I think when he cut across one of their players, knocked it to Mane, little 1-2, went to Trent, went back again, came back. Back to Shaqiri, ball cut across the middle, job done. So he's definitely a presence, and the kid's only gonna get better. We still forget how young he is.
That's it, mate. He's settled in so well, hasn't he? So good to see someone settling in that quickly is just.
And the kid's not even celebrate when he scores. He just walks
out. No, yeah, it's like fuck it. That's what I do.
How cool is Jota, by the way?
We said, didn't we, on the show that you did with us, how just shocking the signing came out of the blue, wasn't it? It was out of nowhere. We're just like, shit, we've signed Jota. And then we knew he was a good player anyway, but I didn't expect him to make a start like he has done.
100%. He's been brilliant. I thought we was going to obviously get Traore. That's what I thought our target was.
Yeah.
But I would have took any one of them. I still believe Traore is going to come Liverpool next season.
Yeah, I hope so, mate.
Because there's something, but I don't worry about our front line. I never have, you know. And now we've got enough strength in depth. Like I said, please, 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 please sign Upamecano or Koulibaly. Klopp, you will thank me for this decision. We need a strong African at the back. We need a strong African that is a world class. So when we go to Burnley, when we go to all these tough games, when we go to Man City, you need someone next to Van Dijk that can bully them, you know. And trust me, we need one of them two, Upamecano or Koulibaly, and we are unbeatable. Mark my words.
I would love that. Well, I've seen some links today with Alaba from Bayern Munich.
I'll take Alaba too. Sorry, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And do you know how cheap we'll get him for? Have you seen his price?
Yeah, I know.
That guy was so expensive years ago. Because of his age, I would take Alaba all day. And I think Alaba's a realistic target for January. Sorry, I forgot about him. So, yeah, Alaba all day. Any of them guys. And Alaba's an athlete too.
No, big time.
I mean, so, he's a left-back, isn't he? Well, he's gone from left-back into centre-back.
Into centre-half. So he can do the both.
Yeah.
And you know, that gives him... what's going on with the Greek kids? Tsimikas.
Tsimikas, yeah. He's back in training now, yeah. Yeah.
He was quality in the Carabao Cup.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, this is a good cover to have at left back. And Andy Robertson, mate, he's going to give you some competition because
he's
aggressive and he can deliver a good ball. So
the team news for Atalanta is a lot better, isn't it? After the last couple of days, you know, Matt, like you said, Matip is sort of fit again. Keita's fit, but obviously they're going to need a couple more tests before they play the game, and you know they might not make it and this, that, and the other. So
what about Thiago? I don't know what's going on.
It's still up in the air again about it. This go on, Mick. You've got the news, haven't you?
He's not trained today. I know that. Klopp said he didn't train. He said Keita and Matip are back in full training. Simikas is in back in full training. Thiago hasn't trained. I think he's done light training, so I don't think he's going to be. I think he's basically trying to get him back for Man City. I think that's the aim, ultimate aim.
You know what? Do you know the difference of a world class player? Like I said, even against Everton, for that stupid Richarlison tackle on him. Do you see the balls that he sees? The other midfielders can't see them type of passes. The guy's amazing. And it's not even like, he doesn't even need to warm up. He's that good. His impact against Chelsea and his impact against Everton. We looked a different side with him in midfield. We looked like we could just cut you open at any minute. So if we're saving him for Man City, I'm fine with that. I'm fine. Do you know what I mean? It's probably better off to let him rest. No, travelling to is it Anfield tomorrow? Atalanta, I can't remember.
No, it's away, mate. Yeah, we're gonna have Italian nightmares again because we've not won in Italy under Klopp yet. So
Napoli curse.
Yeah, Napoli and Roma, we just couldn't do it.
Yeah, so if he's saving him from, because you know, travelling abroad to Italy, getting back for his first game, just keep the boy at home, wrap him up in cotton wool, yeah, and then save him for the big game next week to this week coming up. Sorry, to cut him open.
Yeah.
Go on, Jay.
No, I was just going to say about for Atalanta. You know, I'm glad we got the 3 points in the bag against West Ham because it was a solid performance as we after we go in a goal down. And again, you know, so happy that we ended up getting that second goal and the Shaqiri pass. Oh my God!
Oh, unbelievable!
Oh, just incredible.
When they said they're selling Shaqiri, I was like, no. I don't know what's been going on with him the last 2 years with him and Klopp. But something looks like they've had a chat and he's got his head down. He looks a lot happier. And I don't know if there's a personality clash there or, you know, because Shaqiri's quality, man. Like, it's weird. He hasn't played a lot, but think of all the moments that he has played. What he's done.
Yeah, it's true. Like, it's true. It's a good point.
The derby against Everton, like, he always turns up. The guy is clever. The two goals against Man United. Like, all I want to see him this season is just chill out. Sort out whatever differences you had behind the scenes. I don't know what was going on. And do what you've done Saturday. Because it looks like now, Klopp believes in him now. And like they sorted it all out. And he's now a key substitute. You know what I mean? So if he gets his nut down, he'll get some good game time.
Yeah, definitely, mate.
Because he's got the ball. Oh,
just incredible, isn't it?
Close your legs.
it was like Thiago-like, wasn't it? Like that.
Exactly.
Meg's the defender and literally perfect way for Jota just to go, go on, mate. Go on,
brilliant ball. And even Jota's run, how clever.
Oh, no. Yeah. He's just... Would you start Jota then? Would you start Jota ahead of Firmino? Would you start Jota ahead of Firmino and Atalanta?
I would start Jota against Atalanta.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't start him against City. You didn't expect that, did you?
It makes sense, though, mate.
Bobby always turns up in the big games. And especially because he's been under a lot of pressure and getting a lot of flack. And what I like about Bobby, he never shows any emotion. You know, never has a go at people. Never explodes. Just gets on with it. When he gets substituted, never sulks. So I know deep inside, Bobby's going to be like, okay. you lot carry on. But for that game, my main thing is Thiago, hopefully he's back in. They go with the same front three.
Yeah.
Bring Jota on. 55, 60 minutes to unleash, swap him with Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and give, especially like you said, if you bring Firmino off the heart after 60 minutes, give him a rest. And then, like you said, if hopefully he's ready to go for Man City, because City away on Sunday, that's going to be, we need all our big boys in it. Obviously, hopefully Thiago's back and we need the likes of Keita and Matip. And
exactly. And boys, please don't bring up Villa because I will not talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh.
Ollie Watkin and Matty Cash are both my friends. I don't even want to tell you the messages I got all week off them. let's just leave it there.
Yeah, not going there, mate. The thing is, right, it just shows you how much of a bit of a one-off that was, because Villa's results have been up and down since as well. We've been okay, not amazing, but we've been grinding out the results and stuff like that. And it just shows that, you know, like we said before, top of the league. And you think, what? We lost 7-2 to Villa? Fucking hell.
Exactly. Let's just leave it there. I'll call it that night. That whole week was like Twilight Zone. Man City, Man United and Liverpool all got thrashed. It was something with the Twilight Zone, so it can stay in the fucking Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
All good, boys.
Super, mate. I love it. Mick, I was just wanting to say for score predictions for Atalanta, because I've got some stats here. So it's a big opportunity to sort of not so much seal the group up, but you know, if you 9 to 10 points usually gets you qualification, doesn't it, from a group stage? So
yeah.
we win on Wednesday, we can go, you know, on 9 points, 3 wins from 3. Have it. We said before about the Italian nightmare where we don't really perform well, and Atalanta is such a good side at the minute. You know, we've got Zapata has scored 4 goals, he's got 2 assists so far in the group stage. They're not, we shouldn't take them lightly, obviously. I mean, they have been our hardest game on paper when the group first started. But Ajax gave us a game, Michelin gave us a game. It's going to be tough.
It's going to be so tough. But I feel like we're going to be more equipped away from home because they've got to come at us.
Yeah.
And I think that suits us. Because even Michelin, everyone's like, oh, we're going to batter him. But Michelin came there and done a frustrating thing again. I was like, oh, God, here we go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We still had to break down Michelin. So, who are not a quality side, you know? But they're just like, a, you know, just a tough Danish side. So, it's going to be tough. But I believe that the counter suits us tomorrow at Atalanta. That game suits us, but never take Atalanta lightly. I follow all types of football. And they've turned over a lot of big sides. And let's not get it twisted. Do remember, they are in the Champions League. They earned their right. So, you can never take anyone lightly that is in the Champions League. No way.
Atalanta have only failed to score in one game in the last out of the last 19 in Europe, and that says and against our defense, the way we're playing at the minute in defense, it's you know I'm not when I do my score prediction, I'm not going for a 1-0. I think we definitely will concede, but I'd like to see a nice 2-1. That would be nice for me.
100%. Just to get out of Italy with a decent result, but I honestly believe on the counter, I think we're going to murder them. I think we're going to soak up a lot of pressure in the first half because it's Liverpool Football Club and everyone's up for playing us.
Yeah.
And I think the Italians will believe that they can give us a good run for our money. But if we get through the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes without a goal conceded, we'll catch them on the counter. We'll catch them. Yeah, we'll get them.
Well, just before we wrap up, I want to go through your starting 11 then for the game against Atalanta, because obviously Nat Phillips isn't in the squad. It'll probably be Reece Williams that'll probably start the game again, depending on Matic's fitness. But if we can get your starting 11 on the spot now, mate. Obviously, we know...
Before I do my starting 11, why isn't that not in the squad?
Because when they registered for the squad, he, at the time, it was unknown whether he was going to be in the squad or not, or actually in the team or even at the club. So,
yeah, of course.
So it's a bit unfortunate, but it gives Williams another chance, doesn't it? Who's done really well. So, but it's up to you. It's your 11, mate. Who are you going with?
I'm going to go, obviously, Alisson, Trent, Joe, obviously. And I think if Matip passes the fitness test, he'll risk it. Yeah. Well, it's not a risk. It's just his fitness because he's fit.
Mm.
So I'm going to say, I'm going to base it on Joe Matip being fit. But if he's not fit, Reece Williams could get put into the line of fire in Italy. So I'm going to stick with Joe Matip, Joe Gomez, Robbo left back. Midfield, I would like to see Ronaldo, Milner and Henderson for experience. Especially being away in Italy.
Yeah.
And I'd go Mo, Jota, Mane, rest Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby had a bit of a tough time. That'd be my starting 11. I don't think you should start anyone else in midfield. You know, when we won the Champions League, that was the midfield, man. Millie, Hendo, and Ronaldo and Fab, and just alternating a few times, a few tweaks here and there. But
yeah, it worked.
We always do well, especially if Fab ain't playing. I just believe it's got to be Hendo, Chini and Millie for experience because that's going to bring defensive security.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
I'll be very surprised if he goes with one of the kids because Curtis Jones against Ajax, he was out of his depths, man. Do you know what I mean? It was just a lot for him, you know, because them Europeans make different runs. And them Ajax boys are good. One thing you know about the Dutch, they're very technically gifted. Mm. So, that'd be my team tomorrow. Hopefully, if I get that team right, boys, I'm going to be sending you a message straight away.
Mate,
can I be your assistant?
You can play at centre half for him.
I know.
Mick, is your 11 any different to Harvey's?
No, I think it's pretty. Obviously, if Matip's ready to go, then he's got to start because it's a tricky game. Like if we win tomorrow, we can go 5 points clear. So it's huge. We need. I'd take a scrappy 1-0 win. I don't care as long as we get over the line. Exactly. I think midfield. If Cater's fit, I'd probably start Cater maybe and go Cater, Genie, and Hendo, and then I'd go usual front three up top. I think.
Right. So you're playing Bobby then again instead of Jota.
So basically, not too much difference. You would just pick Naby over Millie.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair play. Yeah. Listen. Firmino is always going to be a touch or go. So I reckon it's split the divide at the moment because Malloy is always to him, but then I've got to be realistic with his form. And yeah. I always believe football should be played on merit.
Yeah, I agree.
Not favouritism.
Yeah.
And Klopp's a very fair manager. And Klopp, managers like Klopp and Mourinho will drag anyone, any superstar if they're not pulling their weight. So based on form, now Jota's got to be like, come on, Gaffer. Come on, I've been patient here and I still scored you goals.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So,
definitely.
Our squads ain't far off. Do you know what I mean? Ain't far off at all.
It's true. Yeah. So, score prediction then, Harvey, what are you going for then against Atalanta?
I'm going to go for a 3-1.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Fair play, mate. Yeah, I would take it. Well, that would be good if we can get 3 wins out of 3 and be 9 points in the group stage 4. The Champions League pretty much sewn up then, wouldn't it? It'd be absolutely amazing if we could do that.
100%, boys.
It would. And it stands in good stead for Sunday as well. But Harvey, mate, honestly, listen, again, thank you so much for coming back on the show, pal. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. And as you know, like I said, diary pending, and well, we're in lockdown now. These guys have seen me that viewing your show once a month anyway, reviewing some games. So yeah.
Love it, mate. We'd love you back anytime. And thanks everybody for watching and for the future comments and stuff like that. Like I said, once the live show stops, the video stays on and we'll put all the links to Harvey's highlights for the charity match that he had yesterday. I believe they're going on around about 9 o'clock, mate. So we'll grab that. And it'll be in the description forever, mate. We'll put links to the charities as well. Once again, thank you very much for watching. Give us a like, subscribe, and we will see you next time.
Thank you very much, boys. Have a good one.
See you later, buddy.
Take care. Sports Social Podcast Network.